This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Well, greetings, everyone. And welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Anti-Semitism and the hatred for Jews are raising again their ugly head. And at the same time, the United States of America has shown to be totally ineffective and unreliable in regards to the current situation pertaining to the Middle East. I have an article here by Deutsche Welle, dated July 10, saying this: following Palestinian rocket attacks and Israeli reprisals, the conflict threatens to reach a new level of escalation. After the peace initiative promoted by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry went nowhere, the Americans are now seemingly powerless, their efforts in tatters. Here's another article by Breitbart, dated July 14, saying that with Hamas' decision to begin firing hundreds of rockets into Israel, precipitating Israeli action to stop that rocket fire, anti-Jew sentiment has now exploded full force onto the public scene. This is not unprecedented. Each time Israel acts in its own self-defense, whether in Gaza or in southern Lebanon, Jew haters around the world have utilized the opportunity to target Jews. Such evil has now shown its ugly face around the world. And then the article gives numerous examples. Here is one happening in Frankfurt, Germany. It says, neo-Nazi protesters threw stones at police. Flags from Turkey, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and Hamas were on display at the protest. Banners compared Prime Minister Netanyahu with Adolf Hitler. In Boston, pro-Israeli protesters were called Jesus killers and swarmed at a rally outside the Israeli consulate. I have another article here by the Times of Israel, dated July 19, saying this: tens of thousands protested in London Saturday afternoon against Israeli military operations in Gaza, denouncing Israel as a terrorist state. Now figure that. Here is a terrorist group, Hamas, trying to destroy Israel. Israel defends itself against such attacks, and now they are a terrorist state. Now it gets worse. It says Saturday's demonstrations in London came on the heels of numerous protests Thursday and Friday worldwide, including Cairo, Istanbul, Cape Town, Berlin, New York, and Washington. Many of the protests have turned violent. Of course, that's the whole purpose of these protests. It says calls for the destruction of the Jewish state were heard in Ankara and Istanbul. Now, Deutsche Welle wrote on July 22 that in many European cities, what began as peaceful protests turned out as anti-Jewish sentiments and violence against counter-demonstrators. And that shows you, my friends, that a true Christian should have nothing to do with any of those demonstrations, because ultimately they are going to be turning into violence. It goes on to say the situation became particularly heated in France. The Gaza conflict has stirred up public opinion in Europe, and it has brought Israel hatred to Germany along with it. The current demonstrators are mostly members of Islamist groups. Of course they are. Of course they are. In a recent survey by Der Stern magazine, more than half of respondents place the blame for the conflict on both Israel and Hamas, and 86% believe that Germany should not publicly stand on Israeli side. Now that's how far it's gone. It's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. The Times of Israel wrote on July 19 that Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan accused Israel of barbarism that surpasses Hitler during its ground invasion of Gaza. Now let me just say that according to the Bible, Turkey, which is biblical Edom, will play a major role in the future in hatred against the state of Israel. That's clearly prophesied. We are seeing these developments occurring already to a certain extent now. Now, here is a terrible example of anti-Jewish sentiments. Newsmax reported on July 20 that an aide with the African National Congress, South Africa's ruling party, has drawn sharp rebukes from Jewish groups for an outrageous Facebook post praising Adolf Hitler for the Holocaust. Renee Smith, a social media manager with the ANC, posted an image of Hitler with a comment, "Yes, man, you were right." Below Hitler's face were the words, "I could have killed all the Jews, but I left some of them to tell you why I was killing them." Now, to put something like that on Facebook shows an incredible state of mind of such a person. Incredible. But not that uncommon anymore. You know, we are looking at Israel, many of the newscasts do, and of course the very unfortunate killing of civilians. And we must understand, however, and that's not necessarily always stated, but it is stated in some European papers, that Hamas is actually the villain. Bild Online wrote on July 18 that Hamas uses children, families, sick and old people as human shields, placing them in locations where they are bound to be killed by the Israeli rockets, while the cowardly Hamas leaders seek protection in bunkers. You see, they don't have, the civilians don't have that luxury. They don't have these protections, but those cowardly terrorists leaders do. And of course, terrorists are cowards. Let's not make any mistake. That is what they are trying to do. They're trying to do it from the back, from the secret places, and of course they are trying to target innocent people. You see, if Hamas could, they would kill as many Jewish civilians as possible. But they can't. Why not? Because of the very sophisticated defense system Israel has in place. But let's not make a mistake and think, oh, the Hamas group, they are so friendly and considerate towards civilians, and the Jews are not. You see, all of that, of course, shows why war is so terribly wrong. In every war, you have casualties, and sometimes people defend that by saying, oh, well, a war brings about casualties. You see, what they should say is, every war is wrong. This present war, which is going on in the Middle East, of course, is terribly wrong. But it goes back to thousands of years of history, as I will talk about in a moment. But let me first say that GTA also reported on July 22 that the Federal Aviation Administration prohibited all U.S. airlines from flying to Israel for at least 24 hours. All three U.S. carriers with nonstop flights to Israel, United, U.S. Airways, and Delta Airlines, canceled their flights to Tel Aviv on Tuesday. The FAA order came after a rocket fired from Gaza struck and destroyed a home in Yehud, an Israeli town about a mile from Ben-Gurion Airport near Tel Aviv. A slew of other airlines also canceled their flights to Tel Aviv, including Air Canada, Lufthansa, Austria Airlines, German Wings, Turkish Airlines, and Swiss Air. And many of those have said that they will continue discontinuing their flights indefinitely. Now, the Washington Examiner wrote on July 22 that for Hamas, the ban could be the biggest break the Islamist group has had since the most recent fighting started, potentially increasing Israelis' physical and psychological isolation from the rest of the world. And the airport handles about 14 million travelers a year. That's a key statement, because according to your Bible, Israel, the state of Israel, will be totally isolated. They will end up with no friends. We read that all nations will fight against Jerusalem just prior to Christ's return. You see, going back into history, we find that the current crisis, these current fightings between Jews and Arabs, go back thousands of years. They actually started with Abraham and his son Isaac and his other adopted son, if you please, Ishmael. You see, what happened was that Isaac was a son of promise, and Ishmael was a son which, you know, Abraham produced through Sarah's maid. But there was a conflict going on between those two, and then Ishmael and his mother were sent away. Now, according to your Bible, Isaac is a son of promise, and he was promised the promised land, if you please. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the succeeding generations. But of course, the Quran has it all backwards. And they present it as if it was Ishmael who was the son of promise. And so the Arabs are entitled to the promised land. And that's where it all started, that hatred between Ishmael and Isaac, and then the generations after that. And of course, the misconception as to who is the son of promise have caused the present and ongoing hatred towards those nations and peoples. Now, of course, in due time, the house of Israel and the house of Judah were brought into the promised land, but because of their disobedience, they both went into captivity. First the house of Israel under the Assyrians, and then they never returned to the promised land. And then later the house of Judah under the Babylonians, but then they did return to the promised land under certain kings like Cyrus and Xerxes and Artaxerxes from Persia, and then later also Darius from Media. However, at the time of Jesus Christ, they were there. See, they originally had rebuilt the temple, and then Herod had magnified it. And then they were all proud about that temple, but they were under Roman occupation. And then Christ warns them, and he said, well, not one stone will be left upon another. And then the Jews were expelled from the promised land. And only in the 20th century, they returned, and the homeland, if you please, was built. And you can argue about how that came about and whether the Allies were all that noble and all that righteous. They probably weren't. The point I want to make is that was all in fulfillment of prophecy, because there are end-time prophecies which show us that Israel had to be in the promised land at the time of Christ's return. But you see, as it was at the time of Christ, when Orthodox Jews, the Pharisees, had done away with the law of God and had replaced it with human traditions, and Christ says, in vain do you worship me, teaching us doctrines and commandments of men. And that applies to Judaism as much as it applies to Orthodox Christianity. So it is today. And of course, you know, Jesus Christ is the only one through whom we can have salvation. And neither the Jews nor the Arabs accept him. But this will all change when Christ returns. He will come to put an end to war, to put an end to hatred. And all these sentiments which we are seeing today will cease. And that is why we need to pray to God the Father, your kingdom come, because Christ is going to return to restore the kingdom of God here on this earth. And then and only then will we have peace. And only then will we have love for one another. And no more war. And no more hatred. And no more fighting. And God will see to it that the nations will receive the lands for which they were destined. Right now, nobody is right. You can say this one nation is right and righteous and this other nation is wrong. Perhaps it's a matter of perspective. Maybe one nation is less unrighteous than the other, but nevertheless, they're all unrighteous in the eyes of God. And it all takes a change of heart. And this change of heart will come, but it will only come when Jesus Christ returns and the nations will flock to him and accept him as our Lord and their Savior. And that's what we should be praying for. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.